figure it out myself.
So, tell us what's going on here today. It's May 19th, 2007. We're down here at the Port of Oakland to stop war profiteering here out of the port. So, tell us what's going on.
Well, I don't know how to estimate how many people there are here. It looks like about 60, maybe. And we're walking around in circles with some signs and picketing the entrance to the port.
So what brought you down here personally?
I wanted to see also what kind of a turnout and how people wanted to demonstrate against the support of the war, anti-war demonstrators.
So what are your thoughts about people that are making profits and money off of the war in Iraq?
I think it's normal. That's the whole purpose, isn't it? More or less. I don't know.
Yeah. Right on. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I guess at 6 o'clock the next shipment or the next shift of workers is supposed to come in, and at 11 or what? No, 7 o'clock this started today apparently, and yeah, nobody went to work today.
Awesome, thanks.
No problem.
Tell me what you want, what y'all really want. Tell me what you need, what the workers need.
All right, tell us what's going on here today.
Maybe we can go a little farther away from this. It's kind of hard to talk with this around. Let's see. Could you hold this and can we move over there a bit? You want my name?
If you want to, it doesn't matter.
I'll give it to you. Okay. My name is Daniel Borgstrom, and I'm an ex-Marine against the war, of course. I was in the service from 59 to 63. That was just on the very edge of Vietnam. I volunteered for Vietnam. They didn't send me. There wasn't enough war to go around. At that time, I believed in that stuff, you know. It took me a long time to figure out what was going on in this world. Today I can see that if I were a young Marine in Bush, I'd simply be fighting for the Bush agenda. I'd be fighting for the Bush legacy. And we all know what that is. It's, you know, privatization plus the glory of Bush. And you know, I can just see that that is so empty, so meaningless, and so worthless. And the worst is, if I had died, let's say I had gone to Vietnam and died, you know, then they would have been promoting the war, well, in the names of the people who died. You know, Daniel, well, we gotta avenge Daniel. Gotta make his life worth something. Gotta keep this war going. Stuff like that. So when, and, you know, my mother didn't quite understand. My mother's a very good person, but she didn't, she didn't quite understand politics. So when finally, and it bothered me that if I had been killed in that, my mother was still voted for Republicans. Well, I mean, more recently, a couple of years ago, when Cindy Sheehan came around, I was just so pleased, that she spoke up for her son. I felt like she was speaking up for me. That's the way I felt about her. I can tell you another thing, too. You know, even though I was not in combat, you don't have to be in combat to see your buddies die in front of you, you know, GIs. This happened in San Francisco, it feels recent. Actually, it was like 35 years ago. That's recent when you see somebody commit suicide in front of you. His name was Sergeant Vandale Todd. I mean, he was a formerly he was a sergeant. He was a civilian when I knew him. And he was from the 101st Airborne. And he had fought in Nam. And he admitted that he wrote in his diary, which I found afterwards. He said, how could killing have been fun? How could killing have been fun? But he was really disturbed by it. This was post-traumatic stress syndrome. And, of course, I did not know the word at that time. He had a bad case of it, you know. And he'd fight with his cat. I mean, you know, this poor innocent little animal. He once put a brick through somebody's window. I guess the guy probably deserved to have a brick through his window, but still, that's not a very smart thing to do. He did things like that. But anyway, one night, he came to my place and said, I want you to come over here. I got something to show you. He was angry, very angry. And he was a big guy. I didn't argue with Van when he was mad. I went with him, and in front of me, he took all these drugs, a handful of Reds. I guess they're Seconal. I guess somebody told me later. I didn't know much about drugs, but he died. We got him to a hospital. He died about 5 days later. They just unplugged him. He would have been brain dead. But that's and this is not an uncommon thing. I've read about a lot of people that this happened to, and so this happened to my friend, you know, right in front of me. And you know, the military, I guess, basically denies that this happens. Our society, a lot. I can't say our society denies it, because I'd heard about people, shell shock. That's what it was called when I was a little kid. But a lot of people, it was just post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was just kind of laughed at, written off. Well, and I didn't know how to evaluate it, so you can see it right in front of you and not quite understand what you've seen until later. You care to ask me any questions?
Yeah, well, so what... What made you change your mind about war and fighting wars?
This is not... There's not a simple answer to that. I mean, I got my discharge in 63, and I joined the anti-war movement about 8 years later. So you see, it wasn't something that happened overnight. One thing, I dropped out of high school. I went back and took a high school class that was actually very good, you know. Kind of gave me some tools to think. Also, I traveled around the world. I traveled in Japan. I spoke to people there. I met people from Europe. I've traveled around to about 40 countries in all throughout my life. At that time, maybe about 30. I traveled to Europe, North Africa, the Middle East, and so I saw a few things. I didn't necessarily understand at the time what I was looking at. Now, I went to Israel. At the time, I was pro-Zionist. I bought their line. And I'm not saying that everybody in Israel is a bad person. Even now, I think my heart really goes out to some of them. But it took me a while to really understand what they were doing to the Arabs. I could say a few other things. My family was very conservative, and this is tragic too in a way, well, in a big way, because my father came from northern Sweden, where people were very poor. And he came to this country, and he worked as a miner, a coal miner. This was in Bellingham, Washington. They had a relatively small mine there. And he eventually died of black lung. It's really death on the installment plan. He died at the age of 62. I'm 65 right now, and I don't think I'm anywhere near dying. But his body just gave up. And yet, he didn't really understand the stuff that these people were doing. Rockefeller, he was against Roosevelt, and I can understand from the left, yeah, there's legitimate criticisms to be made of Roosevelt, but he bought into this, this right-wing line, and I don't know why, but one thing that helped me was I went back to Sweden and visited there, and one of the people I talked to was my aunt. That's my father's sister. She took me, and she was progressive. She liked the system. She was glad that they had, you know, fixed things up a bit in Sweden, and she took me once to this museum. It was an old estate, a very wealthy estate, a museum at this time. I'm talking about 67, 68. She took me there, and there was this mansion and the lands. It was still kept up, you know, being a museum. But she showed me through it, you know, isn't this nice? It's beautiful. And then she said, you know how they could afford this? Because we were their slaves. We worked. They lived like this. We lived in poverty. I mean, she explained this very well and very graphically. Now, the truth is, I didn't really quite get it. I mean, I just kind of said, yeah, nice story, interesting. But I just wish I could go back and talk, you know, I wish I could talk to my aunt just for, see her for one whole minute, you know, have 30 seconds where and say, Aunt Julia, you're right. Everything you said makes sense. You are so right. But as I say, it took me a long time to go from being a U.S. Marine to being an anti-war protester, to being a socialist. I'm a socialist today. It's not just, you know, today I don't just see this war as being bad. I see the war as a symptom. War is a symptom, and the bad thing is, you know, we live in this, you know, we're this privatization, that we're this madness. I mean, yeah, do you have any?
What are your thoughts about what's going on here today with the workers honoring the picket line and anti-war sentiments and union and labor interests coming together?
Okay, I am just totally pleased to see this. I was here this morning, you know, and I was just very happy. You know, actually, I was on the committee to help organize this. I mean, these other people did, you know, I did kind of footwork, you know, and, you know, but I did not know what was going to happen. I mean, I was here in 2003 and 2004, so it's not the first time I've been in the port, but... you know, I'd heard that the union had moved to the right. I'd heard that. And yet when I saw that these people saying, we don't cross picket lines, you know, just this chorus, we do not cross picket lines. I mean, that's just a wonderful thing to hear, music to my ears. And I think in the long and the short of it is, I do believe we have to have a workers movement to change things, and I realize it's not easy. There are some workers, my father, coal miner, who died of black lung, who did not see it, who basically bought the boss's line. Nevertheless, you can just imagine when I saw that this experience this morning, an experience of other, 2003, April 7th. I mean, the reason they shot at these people was because I was over there, by the way. I didn't get shot at. I was over at APL. It was right here at SSA. They shot at people. But the reason they shot at them was because this was effective. Because these workers, these longshore workers, were refusing to cross the picket line. And I think that's just great.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Probably, but I won't think of it. I can't think of it at this moment.
Well, thanks for talking.
Sure.
So what's going on here today?
We're shutting them down, we're standing strong, trying to keep war materials and resources from flowing to the troops in Iraq so we could end this war right now.
What do you think about the war profiteering going on here at the Port of Oakland?
Oh, man, it's sick. It was just cool. This morning we were talking to some of the workers and we were like, so you think you'll get paid today? You think you'll get some money out of them? And they said, you know what? The same guys that are running the ports are the same guys that are profiting off the weapons. It's all the same mafia, the same fucking rich that are controlling the fucking companies that send shit. So, war profiteering is fucked up, and obviously the people that own the means of production and transportation are making bank. But we're changing that reality right now by doing stuff like this and by making connections with the longshoremen, and they respected the picket line this morning. And another conversation I was having with one of them said, you're going to have to just be here all the time if you really want to shut this down. I said, yeah, well, the other option is you refuse to load the war resources and stuff. And he was just kind of like, oh, yeah, well. So, it's all happening. It's a process. And we want to just say stand up and be beautiful.
Awesome. Thanks.
Look at yourself. You a taxpayer. Control what's yours. You a taxpayer. Control was yours.
This is our port.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose port?
Our port.
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 All right.
Let's step over here. What station is that?
Berkeley Liberation Radio.
Is that right? Yes, I'm Reverend Henry Williams. I'm the founding president of a nonprofit company, Job Work Development Cooperation. I joined this up with this teachers organization here of the teachers union. We all similar together, working with them because we want to change this city. I'm the one that had sued all of the railroad companies here in 2004 for all of this land that the railroad company stole and sold from the city, okay, in West Oakland, where the freeway went up. All that property belonged to the city, but they paid the railroad companies, sold off the land that belonged to the city, okay? And even in there where they're building all these homes now on wood streets where only 20% of low-income people can live, when it should be 75% of low-income people, okay? Now, the Port of Oakland, as I was saying early, the city give the Port of Oakland a lot of land here for $1, okay? Now, not only that, all along the waterfront where they're building these low-income houses, the city give them some land. All of the Army base, the city give them, I believe, 180 acres to the port. They didn't just give this land to the port. They give it to the state because the state is over the Port of Oakland. Now, here's what a port does with this property. They lease it to Maritime, these big businesses, okay? Now, and the big businesses is trying to control the unions, and then doing all these things of shipping all this stuff to Iraq, all these weapons. We want to stop the weapons from going over there because we want to stop the war. Okay, like so many others here. But to do this, we're going to continue to picket the Port of Oakland. Okay, this is the first start. the big start here. You know, we've been down here before and everything, but many people have been picketing even last year, but this here is the start of something big here. We want to see this grow statewide, you know, and it can happen. We want to get, I've been meeting with high school students, students from college and all, and we're going to wind up getting a lot of them involved here because we have to take control of land belong to the taxpayers, and that's all the people. You know what I mean? The railroad companies don't own Oakland, shouldn't own Oakland, but they're controlling our land and money from our land, you know, and also maritime. If this city was run by the city like it should be, all of this tenants money from the port of, like out the port, all out to the airport, the Coliseum, APL, not APL, but all of the tenants that's on the city property, you know, like FedEx, UPS, you see what I mean? That's tenants' money that comes to the Port of Oakland. It don't go to the city. It goes to the state. You see what I'm saying? The state is over the port. But a lot of the people that pays tax don't know it. I mean, you know what I mean? You see what I mean? So all of this is a wake-up call for a lot of things, okay? Because a lot of the things that's happening here shouldn't be happening like it is. And we want the company.
It's an injury to all.
The Port of Oakland, we want it to go back the way it was years ago. We want it to run by the city of Oakland. We want the city to run the port, not the Port of Oakland for the state. We want the city to run it for the people. That's the way it was before. Okay, up until 1926. Okay, so the Oakland Waterfront Company. We want to go back to use that name. Matter of fact, I'm finna put over a $250 billion lawsuit back in court. And we're filing against all the railroad companies in Oakland, against the Port of Oakland, and against Caltrain. Okay? And might be the city. We might bring the city involved. If the city don't join us, we'll sue them too because there's violations against them. You know? So I met with John Russo. I left a message for him last week. I'd like for him to join us in this lawsuit, you know, so because he can help carry this if he will, you know. So, but we won't get this case back in court because this all public trust land property belongs to the people. And we have to see that we are peoples. As I'm talking about taxpayer peoples, you know, we own this land. Okay, now, isn't it something, just think about someone giving away millions and millions of dollars, up to $1 billion of land and property, without doing a title search, huh? That's what happened in Oakland when the 880 Cypress Freeway fell. The city didn't do a title search. The state didn't do a title search. You know who did a title search? Henry Williams, an ex-slave sharecropper from the plantation of Alabama, someone that never finished high school. You know? And the city and the governor and the attorney general didn't file a lawsuit. You know who filed it? Reverend Henry Williams. But God and man both blessed me to file this case and take the attorney general's name away from him because the case was filed with me as a private attorney general for the state of California.
Right on. Thanks. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, what I would like to see, as you just heard me say, I was an ex-slave sharecropper from the plantation of Alabama. Okay? There's so many wrong things they're doing is wrong here in Oakland, okay? There's a lot of people in slavery here in Oakland because they are working for practically nothing. Someone taking half of their money. You see what I mean? Agency companies, okay? A lot of these companies pays people from $15 to $25 an hour, they'll pay a company, to the agency company for that person. The company pays it to the agency company. Okay? The agency company take that check and they'll pay that person from $7 to $10 an hour.
This next check goes out.
They're taking half and over half of that person's money. You see me? That's slavery. Anytime somebody taking half and over half of your money, that's slavery. So the city and the state both is in violation of federal law by issuing permits and license for someone to take half of your money.
That's something to think about.
So what we want justice. Justice in the land. See, Oakland was built on a curse. A lot of people don't know that because a lot of history about California has never been told. You see what I mean? There was a black woman owned California at one time. She was a queen, California named after her. Okay, her and all of her tribe and all the family. That was in the early 16th century. She gave it to the Spanish people. Okay, now watch this. The state, the Spanish people acknowledged that. So what they did, get a lot of blacks land. And you know what I mean? A lot of blacks had land here in the 1700s, 1600s. And also in the early 1800s. But you know when that changed? When California become a state. Then it become a slave state. Did you know California is one of the biggest slave states since, I mean, I went to my after it become a state in 1850, the last state in America. In Mills College, there was 1,000 blacks in a slave camp at Mills College. Okay? All right? 106 across the hill. Down across 580, there was another slave camp of over 500 people. In Antioch, that Silversmith coal mine there, in Antioch, they worked many kids to death in there, black kids at the age of 12 years old. Many of them died with lung cancer in there in the 1850s, 60s, and 70s. You know, and there's many slave camps. I got a book on 16 slave camps. All in the Bay Area here. One in Hayward, Russell City, for the slave camp, black slave camp. Most of them are all around Sacramento. All these slave camps are since 1850. You understand me? Not before 1850. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to invite you to a meeting where I'm bringing people together to join this class action lawsuit. I'm going to get back to that. It's about land and money belong to the people. Okay? I just had to touch bases on some of the back stuff. But next Saturday, I have this meeting at Humanity Baptist Church. And we'll be filing this class action lawsuit against all the railroad companies, against the Port of Oakland, and against Caltrain for over 1,300 acres of land in West Oakland. All of this property right here that you're looking at, all in front of us, 319 acres from here to 7th Street, all in there where the post office is. All that land was sold off by the railroad company. It's all city land. 319 acres right in here. It used to be APL many years ago, Southern Pacific. Used to be Southern Pacific many years ago. But the Port of Oakland give the railroad companies $34 million for this land. $34 million. But it belongs to the city, but to the taxpayer. So remember, you're a taxpayer. You own part of the city. Wherever you go in America, you're part owner.
Right on. Thanks for your comments.
Thank you. God bless. What's your name?
Okay.
What you want, my number?
Well, go for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm the president of Job Work Development Corporation, and I'm a minister in the gospel. I'm ministering to people what God has blessed them with, okay? Taxpayers' land. And so because they've been blessed with taxpayers' land, they have millions and millions of dollars coming to them, okay? The Port of Oakland and the railroad companies own a lot of land here. As I said, I'm Dr. Henry Williams Sr. Okay, my number is 510-967-8750. God bless you, and thank you all.
Okay, what's going on here today?
Well, there's a group of people that are calling action to stop the war shipments that are going to Iraq. They're coming out right here at the Port of Oakland to bring the message that the billions that we're spending, or the government's spending, in destroying Iraq and destroying the families of soldiers in our own military could be used in so many different ways at home. I'm a teacher, and the list of things that teachers need is as big as a telephone book. So you know what we can do with $1 billion a day?
Could you give us some examples of what we could do?
Oh, my God. I mean, for one, you can make classes smaller, hire more teachers. We could build schools instead of building prisons. We could have state-of-the-art equipment for the kids. We could have, you know, study aids. We could have better books, better materials. Teachers wouldn't have to pay for school supplies out of their pockets. I mean, that's completely outrageous. We could also not have to be continuously asking the community to come up with, you know, whatever little fundraisers. We could stop baking cookies for fundraisers for the schools, you know, when they're sending all the money to Halliburton in Iraq so that they can pocket it and make their, you know, their bank accounts fatter, while our kids have not very few options. You know, it's not a coincidence, I think, that the growing industry, one of the fastest growing industries in the country, is prison. You know, so what options are kids going to have? You don't have schooling, you can't go to college, so you go to prison or you go to war. So that's what we want to stop and change.
So what are your thoughts about what's happening here today right now?
I think it's nice to see it's a small demonstration, but the variety of people who are here just shows you how you don't need a whole lot of people. You just need a few that are really dedicated to getting the word out. Maybe not a whole lot more people are here, but by now we all know that the majority of the people in this country oppose the war, and the only ones that continues to be stubbornly involved in it is the White House. So it's nice. It's a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon, you know, out there picketing.
Right on. What do you think is going to happen in the future down here at the port, and, you know, resistance to the war in general?
Well, I would hope that that this spreads, you know, that there are, that other people find out where else all the military shipments are going from, not just the Port of Oakland. I'm sure there's other ports in the U.S., but they're coming out with their BLA or Seattle along the East Coast, and that there will be other groups of people that will decide and find out when those shipments are going out, who's making the money out of those, what companies are engaged in continuing the war effort, and that they'll start to do similar actions. Just making them aware that we don't agree with that, and that, you know, we're going to try to disrupt those kinds of operations as much as we can. Yeah.
How do people get involved here locally and get more information about what's going on?
Well, I would say probably ask a variety of any of these groups, either the ILW, the teachers in Oakland, the Green Party, who's also here, who else is here? The mailman, the machinist. Just about anybody who's on the picket line would be able to tell people where to sign up.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I hope that we get more young people involved in these kinds of actions. I mean, it's the end of school is coming, so everybody's busy with other stuff. But in many ways, you know, whatever's going to happen in the future has got to have to be the work of young people, because it's the world that they're inheriting. And if they don't like what they see, and I know a lot of them don't, it's up to their creativity to decide what it is that they want to do to change it. So.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I got some comments.
What's going on here today?
There's a picket line outside the Port of Oakland on this day, which is the birthday of Malcolm X, and it's also Armed Forces Day, so the picket's in protest of Armed Forces Day. It's interesting to see this action in comparison to the port actions that have been going on in Tacoma, Aberdeen, and Olympia, where I'm from. And the folks down here, there's a lot more union support, not necessarily from the ILWU. I'm not sure exactly how they stand, but I know this morning they turned away and honored the line, so that's pretty exciting, and hopefully we'll see that down here today.
Cool. What are your thoughts about this picket line and stopping war shipments?
Well, I think it's important to send a message that the ports, which are supposed to be used in the name of the cities they're a part of, the counties they're a part of, they should not be used to in the name of the people to send out these shipments that are going to kill the people of Iraq, because most people aren't even in support of the war, let alone the shipment. Well, that's controversial. I'll take that back. The shipment of equipment is always controversial because people will say that you're sending out equipment that will help the troops and that they need. But quite often, as we've dealt with in Tacoma, Aberdeen, Olympia, they're fresh shipments, troops that haven't even been moved over there. And I know in the past the actions here have caused quite a stir, and I don't know how they've been received in this community. I'm curious to talk to people about that.
So, the military has stopped using the port of Olympia, temporarily at least?
From what we can tell, they're moving all over to the other ports in the area. They just recently used the port of Aberdeen to ship out a helicopter, a unit that uses Apache helicopters and other helicopters, which are just like flying tanks. And that Aberdeen, they used the port of Aberdeen, well, port of Grays Harbor in Aberdeen just recently, and it was clear that they're trying to avoid areas where there will be heavy political protests. I mean, there were about 100 people that showed up for a protest there, but not enough to stop them from actually shipping out. So they know that if they come to Olympia, however, there will be large-scale demonstrations, direct action, and rallies and marches and so on. So I think the military and the ports are on their toes trying to get around that right now.
Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share?
This is a wonderful group of people here, and Berkeley Liberation. Yeah, it's Berkeley Liberation Radio.
Yep.
Fucking rocks.
Cool. Thanks. Can you say that again?
Longshoremen get assigned to different terminals every night, or they choose which terminals they're going to work at each night. And tonight, all the people you see here were picked up jobs for SSA terminal.
So how long have you guys worked here down at the port?
In my case, 21 years.
Mine is 5.
7.
And what are your thoughts about the community picket line here today?
Well, I happen to support the cause, but that's unrelated to what's going on here, in the sense that we're here to work, but we're not going to cross the line.
And has there been talk amongst your union about situations like this?
Not really about situations like this. The union is very militantly against the war, but in terms of how to handle situations where there's obvious safety hazard and things like that from the sheer number of people, no, we haven't discussed that.
What are your thoughts about war profiteering here at the port? People making money off of war?
I'm not for it. You know, I think it's a sad state of events when people make money off of the death of other people. So, I mean, I'm not for it. But in the same thing, you know, like he was saying, I think we can come to a better resolution than, you know, shutting down jobs where we still have to feed our families also, you know. And this is all right now and today, but hopefully we can come up with something better, you know. Open up the communication, you know. Right now we're not communicating, you know. So.
Well, with luck, everything that has gone on is communicating to the Congress and the administration that the American public isn't going to put up with it anymore.
Right.
We just happen to be caught up in that,
right,
but
right.
We're not directly.
So you guys aren't getting paid if you don't work, is that it?
Right. No work, no pay.
That's correct.
Right.
That's
right.
Life.
Right, right. Because we are behind the cause, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we respect picket lines. You know, union is what we stand for. We're a union ourselves, and We believe if it's a union-backed issue and it's something that we can, you know, we can agree on, we won't cross the picket line.
Well, we don't cross picket lines whether we agree or not. We don't. Yeah, we don't individually decide whether we support a picket line. We don't cross picket lines. That's ILWU policy.
So what can happen so that you all can go to work, but this port isn't contributing to the war in Iraq?
The war could end. Short of that, I don't know. You know, stuff happens. I mean, as long as there's activities like this going on, we're not going to work. If the war goes on, well, we'll still do our jobs, but we honor picket lines.
What kind of dialogue has there been so far with community peace groups and workers like yourselves?
There have been presentations at our union halls and stuff like that. Beyond that, I don't know. I have not personally been active in it, so I can't say.
Do you guys have any personal thoughts you'd like to share? Anything else you'd like to add?
I'm bitter. With a capital B.
What about?
So I better not say. I better not. Yeah. That's why I've been silent over. I don't want to say something I regret later.
Yeah.
But I can't speak for myself though. I'm quite capable of communicating my thoughts. But right now, about this situation right here, and the fact that I'm going to possibly lose a day's wages, I am not very happy at all. But I do want to say that I'm in total 100% support of this cause. However, I don't see how, because like you just said, it'd be a different thing if we could just, like, you know, go home and have sick leave tonight. You know, okay, we'll give up a night's work, no problem. But we don't have that. When we don't go to work, we don't get paid. And this is a regular work day for us. I mean, it's overtime because it's on the weekend, but it's a regular work day for us. And I don't think it's right, because I have a family. I have small kids whose mouths hunger for food like everybody else's. And food is not free. I just bought a condominium for my family, and I need to support my family. So I just think that there would be a better way to get this message across, because I'm in complete support of this message, complete support, because I do not believe in this illegal, immoral war that we are in. I do believe that these companies are profiteering from the war. I really do believe that. And I do believe that they are not making enough of a contribution to the community, whether it be schools or any other aspect of our community existence. So I feel very strongly in those areas. But like I say, I don't see how taking food out of my kid's mouth is going to solve anything or make anything better. That's all I got to say.
See, they throwing all that other stuff. Oh, excuse me.
No worries.
Do you have any comments for the radio?
No, I don't have any.
All right, thanks, y'all.
I think it's great that this is happening at this particular terminal, because SSA is a very right-wing company, very anti-union. For reasons over and above the actual cause that's going here, if you have to target somebody, I love to see SSA be the point. They're kind of the Walmart of our industry, so for that reason, always glad to see if a political action on some unrelated subject happens to hit them rather than the more legitimate companies.
Right on. Thank you.
Sure.
No?
Just no comments. We support you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts about what's going on today?
I've been against the war from day one, and I'm fully supportive of what they're doing. This ties directly into the original protest in Oakland, the situation where there were a number of people hurt. So I'm totally sympathetic with the situation, and a lot of people in my union are, and we don't have a problem with it at all. But the arbitrator has to decide one way or another, just like they did this morning, I guess. And so we'll see how they rule. But, you know, as I said, a lot of the things that are going on in this country, we stand up for a lot of these issues, and we're certainly anti-war. We're for bringing the troops back as quickly as possible, and what else? And not wasting money overseas, taking care of our own people, health care, and all those good things, right? So that's about it.
Right on.
Okay. No, he doesn't want to talk. That's it.
All right, you guys have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Fighting for justice and people's rights and people's pride.
Everywhere we go,
people want to know,
people want to know
who we are,
who we are.
So we tell them,
so we tell them,
we are the union,
we are the union,
mighty, mighty union,
mighty, mighty union,
fighting for justice.
That's the grease on all the wheels. Right, yeah, I gotta go yell at
these
people.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. We've said it's basically Dimmons.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Just going to do some interviews. Is that cool?
No, right now we're having a private meeting.
Oh, okay.
Regarding the union, but thanks for your interest.
Because everything now is technology. You follow what I'm saying? Laser, 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 laser.